there's such hope leaving because they think, God, I'm so excited to start this. I've got a bottle of herbs that's going to help with my energy, help with my stress levels. They know what they're going to do with their diet. They're just excited to get stuck into it, you know.
Yvonne O'Shaughnessy is the health and nutrition coach. I sat with her recently to tackle the complex world of stress management at her clinic in Bohir na Mina in Galway City. No stranger to our national broadcaster, Yvonne features on the Today Show with Dahi and Maura and RSVP Live and Magazine. There's no doubt that the last 2.5 years have taken their toll on our anxiety and stress levels. Beauty may be in the eye of the beholder, but what Yvonne can see may lead to the solving of our problems. Sit back, relax, and have a listen. Hi everyone, and you're very welcome to episode 10 of our podcast. And I'm speaking today with the health and nutrition coach, Yvonne O'Shaughnessy. For those of you who might not know Yvonne, you more than likely do. She's been on TV. She's been on the Dahi and Maura show there on RTE. She's also been on RSVP Live, RSVP Magazine. So quite a prestigious lady that's in front of me here. And she knows her stuff inside out. Yvonne, thanks for taking the time to have a chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. It's great to be here. Just to let people know where you are, you're up here in Bohir na Mina, as I call it, up the hill across from Monaghan's petrol station there and veer in at Peter Kern Electrical, and you're just on the right hand side here. Lovely area, beautiful setting as well. That's where we are. Now it's lovely, the sun is coming in the window today, so that's ideal. But you have a really nice, chilled out, tranquil area here for people to come in and get looked after. Tell us a little bit about yourself, in the sense that when did you start here and the line of work that you're in?
I started about 10, 11 years ago. Started first as a nutritionist and then qualified as a medical herbalist, did reflexology as well. Iridology is part of what I do on a daily basis, and now I literally just combine the nutrition, the herbal medicine and the iridology together. I do very little of the reflexology now.
Okay.
So yeah, about 10 years, 10, 11, about 11 years this year, I suppose, yeah.
Lovely big words there now that I need to know about. Iridology. Iridology.
Yeah,
speak to me.
Iridology. So iridology is an assessment of your iris. So just like we know where Donegal and Cork is on a map, right? We know where the shoulder, the liver, the kidney is when we look at the eye. So it's really interesting, and it throws up so much about somebody's health. So you can have all these little markings. They're called pigments and lacunae. And they represent something different about each part of the organ. So you might have a deficiency, you might have toxicity building up in an organ, you might have a weak nerve or blood supply, you could have inflammation, acidity, anything like that. So when I look at the iris and if I see toxicity building in the liver, then I know that the liver needs a liver cleanse. And then that helps me to guide me towards what kind of herbs I'm going to use, what we're going to take out of the diet, what we're going to put into the diet. So it's like a map for me as well that I use as, you know, a part of developing my treatment plan for the client.
That's fantastic. It's very interesting stuff though, isn't it?
Oh, it's very intriguing, yeah.
And obviously the reflexology side of things, is there a situation, obviously I've heard a lot about it, but there's areas of the feet that are connected to certain parts of our body.
Yeah, again, it's just another map. So working on the toes is like representing the head area, right at the ball of your foot represents like the lung area. So yeah, it's just like a map, working on the map again. And you're looking for these little crystals that are in underneath the skin. If they're there, your job as the therapist is to try and break them down and get rid of them for the client.
That's really cool. Very interesting work. I see you love doing what you do.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah.
And I suppose when you have a happy customer, if you want to call our client, let's put it that way, leaving here de-stressed and everything that you're dealing with them is working, that's a huge satisfaction for yourself. Very rewarding.
It's really rewarding. It's really motivating for the client as well, because when they're here and when we go through the consultation, it takes about an hour, and we say, right, we're going to take this out of the diet. We do the food intolerance testing as well. So we know we're going to take out, let's just say, apples and cabbage, right? They're going to go from the diet. And we're going to put in X, Y, and Z because the diet wasn't high enough in that. And then they get a bottle of herbs mixed for them, depending on what it is we see in the iris. there's such hope leaving because they think, God, I'm so excited to start this. I've got a bottle of herbs that's going to help with my energy, help with my stress levels. They know what they're going to do with their diet. They're just excited to get stuck into it, you know.
And I suppose it's all about that balance. It's to find that happy balance, the state of equilibrium, if you want to call it that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not about coming here and like going off on this fad diet. You know, I've never put anybody on a keto diet or a paleo diet or any of those like high protein, low carbohydrate, high fat, anything like that. It's just literally everything in moderation. Like all my clients, I encourage them to have a treat at the weekend, because if you don't, it's just penance. And like, life is tough sometimes. You need a little reward, but you just don't need it every day. You know, sometimes they think, you know, it's all right to have a bar every day, you know, because I'm going to go for a walk. But what you're doing chemically in the body is changing, you know, your insulin level and your sugar level. So, you know, that's not okay. It's just eating with common sense. It's not a diet. It's just a food swap is what I call it.
Because even if you do take on a completely different diet, let's put it that way, it's quite dramatic and can change even your life. Never mind just your food diet. It changes your life.
It changes everything. It changes how you look at food. Like so many people, you know, if they're on a calorie restricted diet, you know, they look at a kiwi and they look at an apple. The kiwi might have less calories, but the apple might have more nutrition. They'll eat the kiwi because it has less calories. You know, it makes us look at food in a different way. Yeah. And we shouldn't do that. We should eat it because we're drawn to that food. You know, if you're drawn to a particular colour of food, like red peppers or plums or grapes, red grapes or whatever, that we're going to eat that because our body is looking for that, not because we think, well, there's 40 calories in that and there's 100 in that, so I'll eat the 40 calorie one. But you're never going to be satisfied on the 40 calorie one because you always wanted the 100 calorie one.
Of course, yeah.
You know.
And I think it is important for it to be incorporated into our lifestyle instead of us being completely taken up by it as well. So, but the balance is very, very important, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay. Now, I think we're going to speak about something today that I think everybody listening to this podcast can relate to. Stress management. 2.5 years of stress, hard shoulders, screaming at people, shouting at people, all these bits and pieces, mood swings, you name it, we've had the lot. And how are we going to relieve this stress, Yvonne?
We've had the lot. We really have. I've seen, like, now, if you think of it in the positive, there has been some positives. People are now allowed to work at home. And that's brilliant because it has alleviated sitting in the traffic and the stress of leaving the house. And, you know, there's more flexibility. But that has brought a little bit of negativity in terms of like diet for people as well, because they're never more than 5 metres away from the fridge. So now they have to learn a new discipline as well. But there has been positives. There has. But it has been a very stressful year for sure. Or a couple of years rather. And even just like I was reading some psychiatric reports, and it's just about in general over the last 2 years, the impact that it has had on people. And it was like a major increase in panic attacks, disorders, and in OCD as well. You can imagine somebody with obsessive compulsive disorder, and the fact that we had to sanitize our hands, how frequently they were sanitizing and washing their hands and washing their clothes. And it just became excessive for them because they just couldn't control the amount of times that they wanted to sanitize their hands. And mentally, that is exhausting for somebody, you know.
It really is. It's even ourselves that may not be suffering from OCD. You do have it in your head. We are now transfixed with the whole idea of, where is the sanitizer? Where is the next place that I can wash my hands if I'm going from shop to shop? I think it's instilled in us all really now at this stage.
It is. But the good thing is we've come the other side of it now. And, you know, we're without the masks and we're doing a little bit better, and you know, things are looking up. So, but we still have stress, that's the thing. So we need to learn how we can cope with stress regardless of what COVID has done. Now we have to go forward and we have to deal with stress in our lives. Unfortunately, some people have to deal with stress on a daily basis. Some of us, we might have peaks and troughs in stress, but a lot of people have daily stress, and it's just being able to manage that stress is so important.
It is. And I think the other thing about stress is as well, because it's not, if you want to call it, it's not visual. It might be something within you. It's harder to, you kind of say, it's grand. Sure, nobody can see it from the outside. I'm grand. I'll deal with it my own way. But you can't. because obviously it builds up like anything in life and eventually it'll explode. So it's important to look after ourselves from the get-go, pretty much.
Absolutely. Like, we see the impact of stress in so many areas, like mood disorders, energy, fatigue, sleep disorders, panic attacks, as I was speaking about earlier. Like, stress creates so much inflammation in our body, and that is nearly the primary cause of so much dis-ease, not disease, dis-ease in our bodies. So if we can manage stress, if we know what to do in order to try and address it a little bit, then we have such power because we can try and help ourselves to overcome it too.
Right. So where do we start? For the likes of myself, obviously, running and racing with kids every day, you know, getting the dinners, you're getting yourself together, you go to do your show on the radio or whatever. What's the best way to start? What's the foundation when it comes to de-stressing? Or I presume it's food. I presume it's diet.
Yeah, of course. A nutritionist is never not going to talk about food. But I think food is so important because sometimes I think we are just kind of looking for the magic pill, you know, that we can run into the health food shop or we can go to the likes of me or a herbalist or whatever and say, what have you got there for stress? Like, I'm really stressed. What have you got? And if I got a euro for the amount of times people have emailed me, text me, messaged me, you know, numerous forms of contact looking for the magic pill of, so have you got anything there for stress? And it's like, God, I've loads of things for stress, but are you going to manage? Are you going to like make an effort to go to bed on time? Are you going to work on your diet? Are you going to move more? Are you going to drink more water? Are you going to do other things that help your body to cope with stress? And it's kind of like, okay. They kind of think that it's going to dissolve if you take this magic herb. Now, there is no magic herb, of course, but the diet is the really important thing. Absolutely, because we have to address our diet. If we don't address our diet, we're taking in loads of sugar, because if we're stressed, we tend to be tired and we tend to be irritable as well. So the first thing we do is like the coffee and bun, bar, cake, scone, whatever goes with it.
The quick fix.
Yeah. You know, the little boost and off I go. Get me over that hump of the day and that, you know, you'll feel fine for a couple of hours. Then you'll get a slump again. So really what you're doing is you're putting yourself into the fight or flight mode. So you're releasing too much cortisol. So your adrenal gland, every time you have sugar, every time you drink caffeine, every time you drink alcohol, every time you get stressed, your adrenal gland releases cortisol. So cortisol is our stress hormone, and we want to try and keep that down as much as we can. Now, there is some adaptogen herbs that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, but your diet has a huge impact on that cortisol level. So if you're eating sugar every, you know, 2 to 3 hours, even with breakfast, you know, people eat granola, then at 11 o'clock, they might have a scone and a cup of coffee. Then after lunch, they might have a biscuit. Then in the evening time, so many of my clients say, I just love a cup of tea and a mini bar after dinner in the evening. And you're like, okay, so now we're at 15 spoons sugar. And they're and then, you know, just to unwind, I might have a glass of wine. And then you're like, there okay, you're really racking up the sugar. And this is every day. But they didn't think about the granola. Yeah. Or, you know, the scone was a brown scone, but there was still loads of sugar in it. So it's just identifying where you're getting the sugar in the diet, because it's going to bring up your insulin level. And as I said, if you bring up your insulin level, you're going to bring up the cortisol level. So the more we bring up the cortisol level, the more we wear out our adrenal gland. Now, so if you're already tired and you're wearing out your adrenal gland, you now need to borrow energy from something during the day. So we tend to borrow it from stimulants like coffee and sugar, but we have to pay back that energy. So an awful lot of people are in energy debt, right? Energy debt.
Apart from the bank.
So we take out the energy debt, right? But we're supposed to pay it back at night. So we pay it back as we sleep uninterrupted, soundly for at least 8 hours. sleep every night. And if we get that good quality sleep, then we are doing some good to our adrenal gland. We're paying it back a little bit. But if we're on the roller coaster of the coffee, the sugar, the stimulants, the alcohol, the cigarette smoking, all of those are stimulants to our body. And if we do those every day and we don't sleep well at night, or we don't take our B vitamins or our magnesium or our adaptogens, then we're burning the candle at both ends and you're just going to get completely burnt out.
So you're literally on that hamster wheel.
Exactly.
Going around in a circle all the time and you're not giving yourself the opportunity to step off it. Sure, they're nearly stressing you with all the stuff that they're telling you that they're taking along the day as well. So, but I suppose the crazy thing about it is, you know, these comfort foods that we just grab at times, it's like when we were kids, we had comfort blankets, little things that we could just grab and hug. And I'll put both hands up, not one, but both hands up to say that I'm the type that pulls in for the cup of tea. Sure, the look of a bit of sugar and it is grand. And sure, there's a Mars bar there. Sure, look, it won't to be grand. So I'm completely against all rules and regulations when it comes to this. So if we can get our diet right or nearly right, doing, I suppose, let's put it this way, the grown up thing or the more mature thing of eating properly to balance that out. What are the other things that we can add to the diet? The supplements to help us along the way, because we all need a bit of a helping hand. So what's there?
So I just want to mention as well, because I feel this will be beneficial for people in terms of the diet. Try to include more nuts and seeds and good fats in your diet, because they are full of omega-3s and they are anti-inflammatory. So anti-inflammatory foods are really important. So more good fats. We need things like berries because they're really high in antioxidants, and antioxidants help us to reduce oxidative stress in our bodies that we get from everything, stress, free radicals from the air, all sorts of things like that. So it's really important to get the high antioxidant foods in, typically berries, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, everybody knows berries.
Okay.
And then oats is really important. Oats is a nervine, actually. I use it. A nervine is something that strengthens your nervous system. So if you are really stressed, your nervous system is frazzled. So oats are really high in B vitamins, especially B6. And B6 is really important, especially for women, because it helps to balance hormones and metabolize hormones. So like your porridge, oats is really versatile. You can make a flapjack out of it. You can make porridge bread, a muffin. And you can add fruit into these to sweeten them a little bit. Don't add sugar. Add an apple and make like a porridge muffin. And that's sweet enough, you know, and it's not like refined sugar. So your body's able to cope with that because there is fibre in with the porridge. And dark chocolate, you know, dark chocolate is actually good for you. It's not, as long as you get the good quality stuff, it should be above about 70%. So that those are a few little things that we can do. So try the nuts, the seeds, the berries. The porridge, obviously, is a big thing in Ireland, of course, and we can fall back on it in many ways. And do the dark chocolate, oily fish, things like that. Just balance.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, the oats and kind of stuff like that for the morning. Say, for instance, we go with the porridge kind of an idea. Then if we were to go with a snack, you're saying go maybe the nuts kind of an idea for the snack as such.
The nuts.
Yeah, perfect.
Or you could have nut butter on an oat cake, not a rice cake now, an oat cake. Or you could have hummus with carrot sticks or celery sticks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you could even have a slice of brown bread, put an egg on it. You know, because it, like a snack is a small little piece of food. It's not like a meal. It's not.
Yeah. It's a kind of get you over a particular time of day. It's a link. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
It's a link.
Just to get you by.
And then for dinner, if we were to go a dinner direction, what would you say? Because let's call a spade, us Irish are bananas for our portions. We go way over and above the call of duty when it comes to portions, because all we want to do is fill ourselves. But are we filling ourselves with the right thing? What would you say dinner-wise? What should we be grabbing? The fish, obviously.
The fish, oily fish, or it's really important to have protein, fat and carbs at every meal. So like protein, like your chicken, your turkey, your fish, try to just watch out for how much red meat that you're having because it's saturated fat. So that's harder on the digestive system. And of course, it's going to be harder on your liver as well for cholesterol. So try and think of like your oily fish, that's sardines, tuna, salmon. And then chicken and turkey, try and combine that in a stir fry with brown rice. Try and swap anything that you have in the house that's white, like white bread, white rice, white pasta, swap that for brown. And that's not rocket science, but that is going to do a whole lot of good for your pancreas, because you won't release insulin into your blood as quickly if you use the brown pasta, rice and bread. So even just doing that is, and like, I mean, all you have to do is choose a different one in the shop. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Come home and cook it. And that'll make a difference to your blood sugar levels.
And then obviously maybe for dessert, go for a fruit salad, maybe for a change, something a little different that you wouldn't be normally grabbing.
Exactly. You know. Get your probiotic natural yogurt, not the ones that have light diet or low fat because they're full of sugars, fake sugars. And then just a plain natural yogurt without the fruit in them, just plain and natural. There's no sugar in it. There's probiotics and prebiotics in it, which is very beneficial to our gut. And then add fruit and add some nuts and seeds, even ground nuts and seeds to get your protein. You've got your protein, fat, your carbohydrates in that. That's a balanced little snack. You know, instead of having a tiramisu. Yeah.
One of my favourites. How did you know that? And then, you know, we're demons as well. And I've no problem putting my hand up for all of this because I wouldn't have the best diet in the world by any means. Nighttime eating. Is it a bad idea? When should we be pulling the plant on going into the pantry? And what should we be eating as a final meal, maybe going to bed?
Definitely not anything with sugar anyway, because I think I practice myself. I try not eat anything after 7 o'clock in the evening because your metabolism is in your toes at that stage. Let's face it. Your metabolism is at its highest when you wake up in the morning. So it's best to eat the bigger amount of calories earlier on in the day and then reduce down towards evening because your metabolism is getting slower. So like the thing about it is if you skip breakfast and if you skip lunch, you're going to be starving in the evening. So at 7 o'clock in the evening, you're looking for anything that will just fill you. So having a breakfast, I think, is the most important rule when it comes to nutrition for me. I just think it's essential to have a breakfast because if you don't, your blood sugar level is on the downward slope. And if it gets low, then you start to, you know, get the shaky feeling or to get hangry. And you'll reach for anything just to get it back up again and give yourself a bit of a boost. So the breakfast is really important. And that if you eat a breakfast, that will actually curb those cravings in the evening time. You won't be looking for as much food in the evening time because you'll have had all your calories earlier on in the day. So try not to skip breakfast. Try and have your 11 o'clock snack. Try to have lunch, obviously your dinner. And then you may not even want to have that second snack, or maybe you will, depending on your activity level. But if you are to eat something before bed, try and make sure that there's some protein in it because protein actually calms us down as well.
Okay.
So something like turkey, this tryptophan in turkey. Turkey, we'll say like you had turkey on brown bread with a little bit of salad or whatever. Turkey helps us to release tryptophan. Tryptophan is a precursor for serotonin. So when I say precursor, it actually tells serotonin to be released in the body. And serotonin is our happy hormone. So if we have serotonin, it's going to actually calm us down and it'll help us to regulate sleep instead of eating something like a biscuit and a cup of tea.
Yeah, there you go. You got me again.
Yeah, hopping into bed. You know, your insulin level has just taken a major hike and that's going to spike your cortisol level, which is your stress hormone. So your sleep, you might wake up in the middle of the night, or you may not be able to fall asleep straight away, or an awful lot of people wake up, they're awake for a couple of hours, then they go back to sleep at maybe 6 o'clock, the alarm is going to go off at 7, you know, they've gone into a different sleep pattern, so it really disturbs their sleep. So try and cut out the food after 7, and if you do have a snack, try and make it a protein-based snack.
Well, there you go. And obviously fatigue all relates to that as well, the whole idea of daily fatigue, where you're literally going like Groundhog Day, as we all are, and we don't get ourselves sorted out. So in front of us here, and hopefully everybody from that will get an idea of, if you want to call it, a database of food that they could start eating now and get ourselves back on track, and maybe then have a chat with Yvonne about moving on with supplements and things to aid us in moving forward and getting that energy level back. So what do you have here in front of us?
Okay, so I spoke about the adaptogen herbs and they're really beneficial. So let's just say we're exhausted from stress, and so many people are. I mean, the amount of people, I seldom have somebody come to the clinic and say, yeah, my energy level, 10 out of 10, feel brilliant. It's usually like a 2. And I just can't understand how they're able to hold down a job, mind three kids or two kids or whatever number of children they have, and function on an energy level that is just so low. So there are adaptogen herbs that help us. So adaptogens are herbs that help us to adapt to periods of worry, stress and anxiety. So that cortisol that I spoke about earlier that robs our adrenal gland of its energy, these adaptogen herbs actually help us to balance the amount of cortisol that we release. So it doesn't allow it to go rocket high in the body. So then the body is getting a different message. So the adaptogens, we have stimulating ones and we have relaxing ones. So we have things like Siberian ginseng. They are really beneficial for energy, and rhodiola. So they would be the two top ones for like giving you energy. But you need to take these earlier on in the day. Don't take them. If you're very sensitive to sleep, don't take them after 2 o'clock in the day. I know people say don't take them after six. Six is late. You know, if you want to go to bed at 9 o'clock and you took an adaptogen that gives you energy at six, you're going to be energized bunny at nine.
You're going to be jumping up on top of the bed. Never mind anything else. So, yeah. So 2 o'clock ish or before it.
Yeah, before two, with your adaptogen, stimulating adaptogens. They'll give you some energy, Siberian ginseng and rhodiola. They're just two. There's lots more. And then we have the relaxing ones. Ashwagandha is, it's massive in the health world now. It's such a buzzword. You know, so many people would even phone up here and say, have you got any ashwagandha? And it's like, oh, we definitely do, but we need to take it. You know, it's the holistic approach. You can't just take ashwagandha and stay up till 3 in the morning, get up at 7, you know. So just like what I said earlier. So the ashwagandha, really beneficial because, it's a precursor to GABA. GABA is another neurotransmitter, and it keeps us calm and relaxed, and it helps us to regulate our sleep. So you would take the ashwagandha later on in the day.
Okay. And would you find that, say, students doing exams now, would that be good for them? Would that be their direction?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. The ashwagandha, because it calms your mind, like GABA is what we all want more of, because we just feel so chilled when we take it. Now, it takes a while for ashwagandha to work. It's not a medication. It's not a drug. So herbal medicine takes a little while to work. It doesn't mean that it's going to be weeks before you see a result, but you're not going to take it and feel like, you know, you're horizontal after it. You know, you have to stick with it. So, it's really beneficial for students, because if you have a calm mind, you are a lot more productive than wired and tired. You know?
Well, absolutely. And look, that's exactly the way students want to be going into an exam. Chilled out, still have the knowledge, obviously, but be able to just kind of roll it out without any hassle or without any pressure. So that would be a good one. What else do we have?
We have magnesium. Magnesium is really, really important. So I talk about magnesium quite a bit on my page, and I've done quite a few videos on this, and people just love the information about magnesium because it's so readily available. You know, you don't have to come to me to get magnesium. You can go to Evergreen, for example, and get your magnesium. So we've got different types of magnesium. We've got magnesium citrate, magnesium malate, magnesium glycinate or biglycinate. So the two most popular ones are the citrate and the biglycinate. So magnesium is so beneficial because it helps us to balance our blood sugar levels. It helps with migraines. It helps to feed our muscles. So it helps the muscles relax. It helps with constipation and it helps with sleep. So it also helps the liver to clean, which is really important because it helps us to metabolize hormones. And that's really, really important when it comes to women's health, because women are actually affected by stress more than men because of their hormones. And the thing about it is, I'll just mention this briefly because I think it's just so important for women.
Yeah.
If we're stressed at the beginning of the month, right? A female is stressed at the beginning of the month of her cycle, right?
Yes.
That is when we make progesterone. So progesterone is our calming hormone. It's our cool, calm and collected hormone. So we're really productive and we can stay really calm and we can be really on our game when we have enough progesterone. But unfortunately, if you go into the start of your cycle and you're stressed to your eyeballs, you use your progesterone that you need at the end of your cycle to make cortisol, your stress hormone. So you're actually using your calming hormone to make your stress hormone. And then when it comes to the end of the cycle and you're about to menstruate or have your period, you're just like an antichrist because you've used up all your progesterone that was there at the beginning of the month to keep you calm, but now it's gone. So that is just I talk about that all day, every day.
But I suppose you're on the back foot from the beginning.
Absolutely.
So you're literally on a chasing game from the start.
Yeah. So that's why it's so important to get things like the magnesium in there, because it helps us to cope with stress. The adaptogen herbs, they help us to cope with stress. And the herbs, as a combination, they work better as a combination. Like ashwagandha is very good, but when we make up the tonics, we make them up as in like a 10 or 15 different types of herbs in a tonic, so we can, you know, address the nervous system, address the hormones, address the adrenal gland, the thyroid, you know, your mind, your brain, whatever needs to be addressed to help you to cope with the stress. And it works better like that in a combination. But as I said, magnesium is just so readily available. You can go in, you can buy magnesium citrate over the counter. That's going to really help, especially if somebody is stressed and have constipation. And then for somebody with stress and hormonal issues, the magnesium biglycinate is really good.
Okay, and can you, do you buy those separately, as in, is it a tablet form?
Yeah.
Oh, it's tablet form. Excellent.
So you can just go to the health food shop, ask for magnesium citrate. Women need 400 milligrams, men need 500 milligrams. You take that every single night before bed. Don't take it in the morning. It's best to use it at night time, because magnesium will help us release GABA and dopamine, our relaxing neurotransmitters. And they will actually encourage you to stay asleep. So they'll regulate your sleep.
Excellent. Magnesium is fantastic by the sounds of things. I didn't realise all the functions that it has in the body. It seems like the wonder.
It's the wonder mineral.
It's the wonder mineral, really, isn't it?
We don't get enough of it, unfortunately.
No. And is there any other way that we get magnesium bar taking a supplement?
Mm-hmm.
As
we
in food,
it, yeah,
food
we get
ways.
It from our diet. But unfortunately, we've seen that our diet in the last 20 years, there has been a decrease of about 20% less magnesium in our food. 20% like that is massive. That's a fifth, like that's
it is,
huge.
Yeah. And why?
And the reason being is because of crop rotation.
Okay.
So the soil is being abused, really. The nutrients are not getting back in there. And like magnesium, I don't ever remember my granny taking magnesium. Like, they used to take milk and magnesium to do like a spring clean out of their gut and that. But like, I mean, every house you go into now, people have containers of magnesium, because we're naturally looking for it, because it's just not in our food. But we do get it in green leafy vegetables, nuts and seeds. It's in dark chocolate, as I said earlier. So getting lots of like lentils, beans, chickpeas and nuts, seeds, green leafy veg, bananas, some fruits, they all have magnesium in it. So if you have a balanced diet, you see, this is the thing. If you have a balanced diet, you have diversity of different nutrients, vitamins, minerals, so you're not going to be missing out. But if you stick to one food group like a keto diet and you eat loads of like protein and fats and things like that, and you're not having your fruit and your veg, you're cutting off a massive supply of vitamins and minerals to your body.
You are. And I suppose it is all about the balance. It's like life.
Absolutely.
It's like balance in your life as well. And you can't balance that if we're not balanced within ourselves, pretty much. You spoke there about gut health. Pre this chat, you told me about all the things to do with our gut. I couldn't believe how important our gut is within our bodies. Tell me about the gut. What exactly does it do?
It's just so fascinating, the gut. I'm obsessed with the gut. Like, I just love researching, reading more and more about the gut. And unfortunately, and fortunately both, scientists have kind of said that really we missed the boat when it came to the gut, because we should have named it as an endocrine organ. So our endocrine organs are the organs that release hormones. So that is our pituitary gland, our thyroid gland, our adrenal gland, and our pancreas. So they're the endocrine system. But as we learn in biology in school, our gut is not part of the endocrine system. But now scientists are saying we kind of missed the boat there. We should have put the gut in there, because it makes so many hormones. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, if you imagine like you're in a bad mood, you're feeling low, or people with depression, the first thing that they do is think, right, what can I take that's going to like clear this out of my mind? So we keep thinking about our head all of the time when we think about depression. Will I take an antidepressant? Will that be the quickest route? How will I just get rid of this? Anything to just get rid of the feeling. But really they focus on the symptom, which is the feeling of, you know, low mood, and, you know, we feel down in ourselves. But the source of the problem is our gut because we make serotonin in our bowel.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is, if you have a really poor diet and you're eating loads of sugar and literally crap and fizzy drinks every day, you're not going to make your good bacteria. In fact, you're going to kill them. So if you don't have enough good and beneficial bacteria, as it's known, then we can't make that serotonin. So the serotonin is made in the gut by these beneficial bacteria, or microbiome, as they're known as well. And then the microbiome make the serotonin. The serotonin is sent in the blood stream up to the brain, and the brain uses it. Now, the brain does make its own supply as well, but it really relies on the gut. So there's a huge connection with the gut and the brain. It's called the gut-brain axis. So in fact, the brain is always actually looking for information from the gut. So the gut is like the center of all of the information. If you even think about the shape of the body, the brain is isolated from the rest of the body. So it's always looking for information. What's going on with the other organs down there? And it's the gut that gives it that information through this vagus nerve. And that's what creates the gut-brain axis, this vagus nerve. So it's like sending text messages to the brain to say, insulin is high, cortisol is high, we don't have enough good bacteria down here. We have different types of enzymes like beta-glucuronidase, all of these little guys that cause interferences in the gut. And when they cause those interferences in the gut, we don't make enough of that good bacteria. But when we do, oh my God, we feel amazing. So we can actually encourage the growth of that bacteria in our diet. So
yeah, that's amazing, actually, because I suppose, let's put it this way, we do identify different parts of our body as different sections. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're not. Everything is interlinked with obviously veins or with blood vessels, whatever the case may be. And we can think, oh, I need to look after this or I need to look after that down there. But what you should really be thinking about is look after your whole body through a particular way,
yeah,
to make sure that everything flows.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is my job, to make sure that if you come to me tomorrow and you say to me, oh, I've awful heartburn, or I've chronic indigestion, or I've pain in my side. And then you think, I go through the consultation form. Stress might be massively high for you and you don't link the two of them together. You think, oh, you're stressed. How would that impact you? That wouldn't impact my digestive system. So people think my digestive system is just for, you know, breaking down food and that's it. Mm. But it's so much more. Like, that's where our immune system is. We actually control our weight by the good bacteria in our gut. Some people can have more beneficial bacteria, others might have less beneficial bacteria. Our appetite, our immune system, our mood, like how we extract vitamins and minerals from our food, it's all done in our gut. So we underestimate the power of our digestive system.
And even at that, I suppose, with the weight as well, you spoke about the foods a while ago, that we should be eating breakfast, dinner and tea. Obviously, not only are you helping your body, you're bringing down your weight mass as well, which also helps with the whole idea of movement and getting your body back on track and maybe going for that extra walk that you wouldn't have been able to do a while before that. So you're helping every part of your body, pretty
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think it's amazing. Now, alcohol, we all love a drink. Don't get me wrong, we all love a drink. Some of us with kids don't get out as often as others. What does alcohol do to the body on a kind of a regular basis? Has it catastrophic effects on the body?
Well, it does to the adrenal gland, yeah, because it's stimulating our body. It's another stimulant as well. And a lot of the time I see, it's funny actually, I nearly argue every day with women, like, please cut down the wine.
It's wine o'clock.
Yeah. But so many of them will say to me, I'll give up anything now, but I'm not giving up the wine.
Yeah, I hear you.
But sometimes the wine is a sugar craving as well. Because alcohol is full of sugar, you know, but it's very stimulating. So some people say, I like to unwind in the evening time with a glass of wine. But then they're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, are you not making the correlation between the wine and the awakening at three? Oh, no, sure. I wouldn't sleep if I didn't drink the wine. Yeah, but it's just, it's putting you into this fake sleep from, we'll say, 12 until 3, and then you're awake from 3 until 6 because the wine just completely stimulated first your adrenal gland and your poor liver was trying to cleanse and it couldn't because it had to get rid of the alcohol first. Now, like, I don't want to sound like a party pooper and that I don't have alcohol. I do, but I don't drink it every single day. Like, some people have alcohol every day, you know. And again, it's back to the moderation, you know, have it in moderation and have it in isolation as well. You know, if you're having alcohol, try and drink it from X o'clock until certain, we'd say from like 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock, you know, don't drink it from like 6 until 12 o'clock because you're stimulating your body for a longer period.
Yeah, so just be conscious of the alcohol intake, I suppose, more than anything else. Now, you've down here, use essential oils as well. What are we talking about there with essential oils?
Yeah, you could use those to help you alleviate stress as well. And they're really beneficial for children, because especially little toddlers, you know, that are not great sleepers, or they might be stressed by, you know, a rash or a cough or something like that. To help them to just like settle and relax before they go to bed, you could use essential oils in the bath. You can rub them on the soles of their feet. You can put it on your own feet. You can use them at the side of your temples, and you can diffuse them as well. That's what I have out in the hall, is a little diffuser, and I drop the oils into it, and they're really beneficial. Things like lavender, chamomile, lemon balm, anything like that. It's really beneficial to diffuse into the air, into their bedroom. You could have the diffuser in their bedroom or in your own bedroom, of course, or just rub them into your temples, rub them onto your wrists, rub them onto the soles of your feet, and just like you'll get them in a little roller ball as well sometimes. So you can just keep them in your bag or keep them in your pocket and roll them on when you feel like you feel a bit stressed, and they're really beneficial for just calming the nervous system.
And very readily available. They're everywhere. You can find them anywhere now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we all heard about meditation. Some people take it more seriously than others. Visualization, that kind of an idea. What can meditation do for you?
Oh, I just love meditation. It's my go-to. I try and coach my clients to do meditation every day, and the ones that do it and give it a go, they get addicted to it as well. It's just the relaxation that it brings to your mind. So we all need time to chill out and let our mind just relax, because sometimes it's not, you know that saying, we see the world not as it is, but as we are. So if we go out and about and we're in this wired and tired mood and we're cranky and we're irritable, your man will be on the road and he'll slow us down. You'll try and overtake him, and then there'll be a truck coming against you every time you try. You know, there's always something. There's a big long queue in the supermarket. Everything seems to go against you because you're just so wired and tired. Or you entered the day in a bad mood, basically. It's very easy to be in a bad mood. It's a lot easier to be in a bad mood than be in a good mood. You know, because we're constantly telling ourselves negative things about ourselves. Oh, you know, I don't like my hair, don't like my hips, don't like my toes, whatever it is that you don't like. It's very easy. It's harder to actually be positive. So it's a practice. That's what meditation is. It's practicing switching off those negative voices in your head and telling yourself that, you know, everything is calm, all is well. And just have little sayings that even when you know you're going to be, you might be entering into a stressful situation, that you have a few little key things that you're going to say to yourself to just calm yourself down, take a couple of deep breaths, and the deep breathing. Like, there's so much science behind the deep breathing and how that helps us. Every night before I go to bed, I do 15 minutes meditation. I do it again in the morning time, and I couldn't actually live without it. Anybody that will listen to me about meditation, visualization, gratitude, all of that, I think that is so, so important. And I think even just like a gratitude list, like, you don't have to be going around like, people think, well, I don't have that and I don't have this. So they start looking at all of the things that they don't have in their lives. Oh, sure, I'd have nothing to put on the list. I'm like, put down a cup of tea, you know,
it's the simple things.
Yeah, there's days you just have that cup of tea and you just think, I was just dying for that cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you like, that you just find that solace in or that relaxation in. It doesn't have to be big things. It could be, you know, the fact that you came home and the dishwasher was empty, you know.
Yeah, the simple things. Yeah. At times, I think we do go to look for the complicated situation all the time instead of looking at the undercurrent and realizing that, do you know something, we're not bad.
Yeah.
Things are okay.
Yeah.
Things are grand.
Yeah. You know, that we're safe. Like, we have a home to go home to. We have enough food. And all of these things, they might be minor, but imagine if they weren't there.
Yeah.
So just be grateful for these little things.
But it's the minor things, I suppose. Let's put it this way. It's the minor things that kind of, we're all in a life together. We're all doing our bits and pieces or whatever. So the minor things all build up to be good things.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, look, that's fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the table before we finish up?
I think that's it, isn't it?
Are we done? Wow. That's fantastic. No, it was great. Really enjoyed having a chat with you. It was great. And hopefully somebody will learn something from it. As I've said throughout all these podcasts, if somebody learns, one person learns something from it, I think we've achieved. And that's the most important thing. Yvonne, thank you very much indeed. You have a wonderful social media platform as well. So we might just give people a little bit of a push on that. Where can they find you on Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, it's under the Health and Nutrition Coach on both of them.
On both of them, yeah.
You should be able to find me.
And you put up videos very regularly there as well. So,
I do, yeah. I try to do a Wednesday wellness. I haven't. But, I was doing great for a while.
But it's tough. But then, you're busy.
You know, three kids, muggy training, hurling training, rugby training.
Exactly. And then everything else that goes along with it. But look, just keep an eye on the page. As I said as well, she'll be involved again with the with Dahi and Maura, no doubt, and RSVP and other bits and pieces as well. So keep an eye out for Yvonne. Check her out on social media and she'll be able to help you along there. I'm sure they can send you a message as well, possibly.
Absolutely.
She's there to help. That's what it's all about. Thanks very much indeed for taking the time. Thanks for inviting me into your beautiful, tranquil area here in Bohrinamina. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Great. Thanks, Ronan. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Check out the Health and Nutrition Coach on Facebook and Instagram.